go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 46 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the people's degenerate. If you're listening to this on a podcast form, which Verbal Graffiti is now on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcast, you'll notice we have an intro song. I'm not going to say where I got it because I'm not sure if it's legal to use or not, but was going for that 1970s New York City gritty smut kind of theme. Hopefully that song, that's what it reminds you of. It was very easy to do. I just took the song, put some audio clips over it in Final Cut Pro, and just uploaded it like before all the episode. If you're watching this, I am yet to have an intro for Verbal Graffiti, but I have been collecting photos and video that I want to put something together in Apple Motion and make an intro. That's a little bit more time consuming, and I'm going to have to teach myself via YouTube University on how to do all that. So that will be coming hopefully in the next couple of months. It does seem like a very challenging project for someone who's tech illiterate like myself, but I have a vision in my head, so I'm going to try to bring it all to all of you. I'm wearing shorts. I usually don't wear shorts when I'm out in public because I have respect for myself and for my fellow man and lady, because my legs are, I have chicken legs. I can literally take my two hands and wrap them around my thigh. That's how skinny my legs are. If you're the type of babe who's attracted to guys with thighs that are like tree trunks, like Saquon Barkley, formerly the Giants, now the Eagles, boo, I'm not the guy for you. My legs are flamingo-esque, maybe even skinnier than that. Same with my arms. But I got a big heart, and hopefully you like that. So yeah, legs, I try to avoid them. But it is, hey, it's July, it's 90 degrees, and perhaps the B-Man's favorite part of summer is air conditioning. Love, love, love air conditioning, central air. When I walk by a house or an apartment building and I see a bunch of those, you know, the square air conditioning units out the window, I know someone's in there just cool, relaxing. Nothing has proven the success of humanity like being able to wear a hoodie inside when you have your house or your apartment or wherever you're living at a cool like 67 degrees when it's 95 and humid outside. Everyone 100 years ago was envisioning, you know, Americans in the 1930s, 20s. They were envisioning cars that can travel in space and going to UFOs and going to different planets. Fuck that. Give up on that. What we have right now is better than anything you could do in space. Does being able to wear a wool blanket over your shoulders when the sun is beaming down and giving everybody sunburns at the beach, that's winning. And Americans, I love to win. The B-Man loves to win. So I'm just happy to be in a central aired place right now. I was at the beach last week. I'm not a beach guy. I like to pamper myself. I'm a pool guy. I'd like to know what the temperature is. I like the chlorine. I like the clean water. The ocean. I bring this all up because I've bid farewell to the ocean. I am no longer going to step foot in the ocean. I've had probably 20 or 30 years of going in the ocean occasionally. Thankfully, I have not been bitten by a shark or by a jellyfish or a creature like that. I was giving it a lot of thought, and I was like, a lot of people are dying in the ocean because we, as humans, we're winning. We've beaten the temperatures, the weather, but we have not beat in the ocean. Like on land, we are the king of the animal. King of the animal kingdom. But in the ocean, we are not any of that. We are prey in the ocean. So I was just walking along the beach. Everyone would ask me, like, hey, B-Man, you going to go in the ocean? I had family, friends of friends, the lifeguard, a guy who was kind of barbecuing, the ladies who were just drinking and playing beer pong. They're, hey, you're gonna go in the ocean. You're going to swim out. It's warm. I was like, thanks, but no thanks. I like being alive, and I'm not putting my life on risk to go in there. I'm not even going to go below my knees. There's just too much risk out there. I was watching this documentary recently called Dave's Not Coming Back. It was about this guy, Dave, who does deep water cave diving, and he was trying to recover a body that died in a cave in somewhere, I believe in South Africa, like 250 meters down. Not me. That's not going to be me. I like walking on land, being on top of the kingdom. I don't want to be prey. I don't want to be eaten or stung or swallowed by a whale or some other creature. I was on X and I was on a thread that showed me all the creatures that are in the bottom of the ocean. And it kind of hit me that the ocean is a separate universe than what we have on land. Like everyone talks about space and are there people living on Mars or some other planet that we can't envision or see yet or get to. It doesn't matter because what we have in the ocean is a separate universe and it's wild down there. And when you start looking at all the creatures there, that makes you want to hang up your goggles and never go back in. I am never stepping foot again in the ocean. Maybe I'll dip my toe, but I'm not going, definitely not going below my kneecap ever again. And I'm proud to say that I've given up the ocean. You know, I respect what that universe is. And I am not part of it. So hey, you live your life, weird ocean creatures. I'll live mine on land. You alligators who are kind of doing a little bit of both. I don't even know what to say to you. Kumbaya to you all. I'm never going to see you again unless it's some type of video online, but not physically. So I've given up on the ocean. AC, I think that's enough of an intro. Let's get into something I found on Reddit. This one comes from the subreddit Trashy Text. Would you consider it trashy if your feet hurt bad enough from your shoes to take them off at a funeral, trying to settle a debate? The B-Man will settle the debate you and your friends and family are having. Taking your shoes off at a funeral is not trashy. Now, what is trashy is wearing 6-inch stilettos to a funeral. I've never really given it much thought because to be man, I am not a funeral guy. I will go to a wake. I'll do the handshake, you know, do the hug. I'm sorry for your loss. He had such a great life. How are you feeling? Is there anything I can do? I'm not going to show up the next morning, though, and carry a casket and stand in some graveyard. That gives me the heebie-jeebies. It's a little too close to death, similar to the ocean. I want to keep my distance from it. I do believe, though, there now that I have given it some thought, there should be a height requirement for heels when it comes to funerals and wakes. I'm going to put the height of heels should be no more than 3.5-inch heels allowed at funerals and wakes, unless there's always exceptions to the rule. So if you're involved in the mafia or some type of biker gang or, you know, some type of criminal entity where, you know, you got a appearance is very important, then hey, wear your six-inch stilettos to the funeral. For all of us who are living life above board, though, who pay our taxes, 3.5 inches or below anything, that is the limit. That was basically That was a big faux pas you had, was just wearing the type of footwear that would put your feet in pain. You should have had more foresight. And let's be honest. I mean, that's a lot of foresight most of your babes have. If there's one thing all the babes are good at, it's complaining about heels hurting their feet. Wah, these heels, they're making my toes throb. I'm sorry. It's not us men who are making you wear these heels. You're always like, oh, down with the patriarchy and making us wear heels. Like, we got behind Moses and it was like, hey, fellas, Moses, can you please put an 11th commandment in chalk that says thy neighbor must wear pumps to every formal event? Because I swear all you babes think it's us who are making you wear uncomfortable shoes, which is not the case. And I wish it was. I wish the patriarchy had that kind of pull, that kind of power, where we could make women wear heels. Because what we have now is the matriarchy, where women are in charge, and all they wear are these godforsaken flats, or as I like to call them, socks with glitter. And you girls wear them everywhere. You'll wear them to interviews. You wear them to funerals. You wear them to the office. You wear them to the bars, to the restaurants, to the grocery store. You wear them around the fucking gym. It's flat and sneakers. Like, high heels are basically on the endangered footwear list. I hardly ever see heels. But back to you and your predicament at this particular funeral. The problem was so much was not wearing the heels to the funeral. The problem was just not planning out in ahead. Because when you have a funeral, there is going to be part of that funeral where you go from the church to the graveyard where you know you're probably going to have to stand on some type of grass or uneven ground, which is not, you know, the best setting for high heels. So my suggestion for future funerals that you attend, God forbid if you have to, is wear your 3.5-inch heel maximum to the church proceeding, for the ceremony at the church. So you're there and you're kind of, you want to dress properly at the church. So you let Jesus know, you go, Hey, I'm willing to play ball. You can be Harvey Weinstein. I'll be an actress who's begging for a starring role in an upcoming movie. I'll do whatever I need to get into heaven, Jesus. And then when you leave the church to go on the procession to the graveyard, that's when you pull your flats out of your vintage Chanel handbag and you slip on your flats on your feet before you get to the actual graveyard. Similar to what all you babes do at weddings. You know, at the wedding, during the vows, all the babes, you wear your heels. And then right after cocktail hour, all the babes, you know, they pull in their purse and they put on their flats, or they just go to the dance floor barefoot, like the barbarians that a lot of you are. I think we can all be in agreement with that. And when it comes down to it, like, who's going to judge you for being barefoot at a funeral anyway? So you're there around the casket, everyone's crying, wearing black, wearing the veil, and you take your shoes off to introduce your cuticles to the entire party. Like, the guy who's dead, he's dead. He's 6 feet under. All he's thinking about is atoning for all the sins before that last part of dirt covers his casket. Because, you know, he's got to say a prayer for all his infidelities that he's had, for cheating business partners, for not paying back loans, for beating his children, for cursing, you know, whatever the 7 fatal sins that he partook in, that's all he's thinking about. He's not thinking about some dumb lady who forgot to bring flats to his funeral. And for everybody else, for anybody else at the funeral, if anybody else turns around at you and gives you the stink eye, just look them in the eye and say, go suck a fat one. And go judge everybody else before you start judging the corns on my toes. Because we as a society have no respect for other people. And I can prove that. That is demonstrated by the way we all dress. Look at me now. Episode of Verbal Graffiti, I'm wearing shorts. It's unbecoming of manhood. I go to a grocery store. I guarantee you, fuck the grocery store. I guarantee you at this funeral, there were several ladies who were wearing low-cut blouses. There were probably some guys wearing jeans and sneakers. Half the people there were scrolling at their phone, not even paying attention to whatever the priest was saying. What else were people probably doing that was disrespectful? Oh, there are probably some guys just having chewing tobacco in their mouth. There are probably some teenagers sucking on their blueberry Raz vape. Everything, like this whole funeral procession was just a ceremony to disrespect the dead. And for you having your feet exposed, like if we're going to list off everything that people were doing that they shouldn't have been doing at a funeral, like you're not even in the top half. So don't worry about it. Just next time you have to go to a funeral, be better prepared. Don't wear heels that are as high and have flats in your handbag. Let's go look at some photos. I don't know if this needs to be said or not, but I'm just going to say it regardless as a PSA. If you're the type of lady who will take her shoes off at formal events, I do believe the burden is on you to get a manicure before the said event. At least that way your feet will be in good form. Also, the B-man, I do not want to be buried. I have a little bit of claustrophobia. I don't like dirt. I take showers daily. I want to be cremated. I put all my ashes over everyone I have a vendetta against, everyone I hate, because I want to follow them around and be a ghost that just is a burden to them till their dying day. And you best not put my ashes somewhere in the ocean, because like I said, I am land-based only, even after death. This next one is long, so let's get into it. It comes from the subreddit Call Her Daddy. I believe that is Alex Cooper's very successful podcast. Feeling rage, I did not orgasm. Me and this guy met on a night out. We hit it off immediately. We spent 4 days straight and bold together. We had separation anxiety when we had to say bye. Aww. Lately, we've been having some tiffs, you don't say, but knew last night I was spending the night at his place for the first time. He was annoying me all week, but I was holding out because our sexual tension was so good. Was it? We were in bed arguing, but I wanted to get off so bad, I just said, let's not talk. I just want to hook up RN right now. I end up giving him the gluck gluck 3000. Because that's what I do, I enjoy it, and I'm very good at it. He enjoyed himself very much. Then when it came to me, he couldn't get me wet. Started implying I'm too difficult to get wet, and that most girls are naturally wet. Then I tell him to go down on me. He says he's not good at it, and rather fuck me. Says he's only good at fucking and not the other stuff. So I said, okay, well, you have to learn. Then I tell him what to do to get me wet, and he's like, no, I got it. Skull emoji. I gave him one more chance. I finally started getting wet, and he ends up having to stop during foreplay because his back hurts. Says he has a hernia. So I told him, we are done. You don't get to piss me off all week and not get me off. He said I was rude and I hurt him. But I said what's rude is not giving me an orgasm. Am I an asshole? If the roles were reversed, and any man would be pissed. I had to finish myself off. I could have stayed home at that point. We ended the night saying we should just be friends, but this morning he told me he loves me and wants me back. It's only been 2 weeks. The power Goodhead has. Maybe I would say it back if he gave me some in return. Please do not say I love you to this man. The moral of this story that you gave all of us is never say I love you to your man before he's able to give you the big O with his ah. As a comedian, how shall I phrase this? As a comedian, what upsets me most about you is that you stole the Gluck Gluck 3000 from Alex Cooper. Alex Cooper has copyright over that move, and for you to be giving a guy the Gluck Gluck 3000 on his shaft after less than a week of dating, I believe is sexual malpractice. You are capable of anything. Like, what is next? The next guy you meet with a nice sleeve tattoo, are you going to take him in the back of your Jeep and give him the hook to a spit on that thing? Like, you need to save those moves for men that deserve them. And this guy does not deserve them. What you did here reminds me very much so of a Seinfeld episode. If you're old enough, there was an entire episode based around, the storyline was George stole another guy's sexual move, and then he had to stop doing it because the guy called him out for it, so he couldn't do the move. But then the lady was frustrated because that's the only way George could get her off, to give her the big O with his So I hate to call a spade. Actually, I enjoy doing so, but you, ma'am, are the 21st century version of George Costanza. Penalty? You have to move back in with your parents in Long Island. Sorry, not sorry. I mean, come on. At least wait till one full moon cycle before you start giving your guy the Gluck Gluck 3000 or the Hawk Tua or whatever. I probably shouldn't do all the motions. I'm not a hand guy, by the way, with a head. I don't like a babe who's like jerking me off. Like, I put your whole mouth down on it. If you're just like, have your mouth on my mushroom, and that's just a glorified hand job. Like, stop being a bird pecker, go all the way down like some of our favorite stars we see on the internet. But enough about me, back onto you. Key takeaway here is you got to just wait till you find a guy who proves that he is a giver before you're willing to, you know, give him your best moves. As for the guy in question, I kind of love him. Kind of love this guy a little bit. To me, this guy is an American's American. What I mean by that is, like, is there anything more red, white, and blue than blaming somebody else for your problems? I love how he says, oh yeah, it's not my fault that you can't get wet. That is all your fault. I have nothing to do with that. Like, every babe is just naturally wet, and you're not wet. It's your body. Why aren't you wet? That must be your problem. Yes, I'm terrible at oral sex, but your body, your choice. Like, get wet. Why won't you get wet? I'm stealing, by the way, I am stealing this guy's move. I'm going to pull your move and steal his line where he's going, yeah, I'm not great at oral sex. I'm really good at fucking, so let's just fuck. Next time I coerce the babe into bed with me, that's what I'm going to say. Yes, babe, I am not going to go down on you because all I do is fuck, and that's what I'm really good at. Actually, I like going down on babes. I've never had to be asked to do so. But again, this is not about me. This is about you and your tumultuous relationship that's lasted less than 2 weeks, I believe you said. I have another accusation I want to make against the female call her daddy fan here. Are you really good at giving head? Have you mastered the Gluck Gluck 3000? Because the evidence you present us is questionable if you're good at that or not. And what I mean when I say that is you went down on your man, you gave him the Gluck Gluck 3000, But then he was still hard enough to want to fuck you, which implies that he probably did not goo in your mouth or anywhere on you, which means he did not orgasm, which makes me question your talents at oral sex. Because if you were so gifted as at the Gluck Gluck 3000 as you proclaim to be, wouldn't your man, your lover of 4 days, wouldn't he come right away, at least within 5 minutes? He did not do so. He did not present evidence in the form of goo coming out of his wiener, which makes me question how good you are at oral sex, Miss Call Her Daddy fan. So maybe you should listen to a few more episodes of Alex Cooper and try to find some video tutorials on YouTube or some other nefarious websites and to get the practicing on other men, and other men that will reciprocate what you do as well. All in all, I think you dodged the proverbial bullet here, because I don't know if this is a man you want to be giving the Gluck Gluck 3000 to for the rest of your life, or at least for the next 2 months, because he kind of, this is not the type of guy you want to be with. A, he doesn't go down on women. B, he's already injured. He said he had a sports hernia. He blamed you for not being wet. He does not seem like he's much of a giver. He's all of a taker. And he said, I love you after one night together, which I'm not going to judge him. I've been there. You were right. Great head. We'll make guys say crazy things like, I love you. And I've been there myself, but I've grown. I'm trying to get better. But again, this is not about me. This is about the two of you and your crumbling relationship. Yeah, so I think you dodged the bullet. You should be thankful that this man is now out of your life and that you do not. Don't tell this guy you love him next weekend. You probably will. But hey, live and learn. To you and to everybody else, go suck a fat one.